Welcome to the Victory Harvest Podcast.
Thank you, guys. You are so great, gracious to us, and it's a blessing. Can y'all hear me? It sounds like it's a whole bunch of me behind me. Testing, okay, as it's coming there. Boy, just thank goodness he didn't catch me drag racing out of here that night. You know, he just did not know who that was, you know. That was not me. I was a joke, okay. But I started to ask him if he could help me up here. You know, it made me feel so old and him so young, you know. And now he's got a new heart. He's going. Yes, he's going to be something to deal with from now on. How many of you know that, you know? He's already got more energy than a whole bunch of bunny rabbits. But God is good. Amen? Did you come expecting something to happen good to you today? You know, we've been talking about that. We've been praying about it. We've been having some great prayer meetings on Wednesday night, Thursday morning. If you don't get a chance to come to some of them, please come. And you're going to stay in tune with what God's doing. I did a teaching Wednesday night, and I hope I didn't run everybody off. I see quite a few vacant chairs here today. But it was a hard message. And we were going through our Sunday school class this morning, and somebody said, boy, this is really a hard lesson. And this is going to be milquetoast compared to what I got today. Amen. But I'm going to burn you real good because Terry's got a new heart, and he can straighten you out next week. But while I got you, I'm going to give you something. No, and you all know better than that. But I'm going to give you something I think that's going to change and challenge your life. And it's about expecting good things from God. If we're going to expect good things from God, that means we're going to have to do something. We're going to have to step out in faith. We're going to have to do what God wants us to do. How many of you, that when you had children, you expected good things of their lives? You know, I was a mechanic, a master mechanic. I went and I've told y'all this story before. 700 and something people took the test. There was only 5 of us that passed the test. And I was proud for what I was doing because I worked hard ever since I was 12 years old, working on things and learning and training myself up to that point. And when I got that master's degree for being a mechanic and they put it on the wall and all that kind of stuff, it meant exactly nothing in my life. Because it was good, but God had something better for me. And I don't care what you do in this life, God has got something better for you to do than just get all your acclimates and hang them on the wall somewhere in your trophies. Because God is expecting good things of you. And I'm saying that to say that I had 2 boys. They had to build their first vehicles. I did not go out and just buy them something and say, here's the key, you take off for it. They literally built it. You ever seen these car shows on TV, overhauling and all that? Well, that happened at my house 30 years ago. That's what their first car was. They said, that's it. I said, that's it. You're going to build it, you're going to appreciate it, and you're going to help do it. And I showed them how to do it. Not that I wanted them to come to be what I was, but I wanted them to know and have a working knowledge of something more in their life. And I told them, I said, guys, you can go do what you want to do. If you want to be a brain surgeon, if you want to be a mechanic, if you want to dig ditches, I'm going to tell you what. If that's what you choose, that's what I'm going to back you up in. And I promise you, I will be with you no matter what, but I will not conform you to be in what I am. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? And I said, but I do expect good things of you. And how many of you know when our children were small, I expected them when I saw them crawling to walk one day. I expected them one day when I saw them walking to run one day. When I saw them running, I expected them one day to get up and do something. When they were cutting the grass and making a few dollars, I had this great expectation, they are going to leave this house one day. They are going somewhere to, how many of you say amen, still got kids at home? You know, well, I got news for you. You're going to be expecting for them to come back, but they're going to bring a whole bunch more with them. But I expected good things in their life, not to transform them into my life, but for God to transform them in what they needed to be, that they would conform their children into be what God wants them to be. Now, God has the same expectations for us. If we've been living in faith and our faith has not grown in the last 20 years, God is expecting you to get up and to do something. If God expects you to get out and witness and you're not witnessing, God expects you to get out and witness. Amen? Is that a good analogy? You know, I think God shows us in the natural exactly what He wants to see us do in the supernatural. And sometimes we just don't do it. We just say, well, okay, sarah, sarah. You know, I'm happy. Just go to church and shake a few hands, love a few necks, and get the word. Give me the word. Come on, sock it to me. I want it. I'm going to go, and I'm going to go this week. And so many times we lose it before we ever get to our car. And that's sad. And I can say that because I used to be that same way. But, you know, I prayed, and it's like, God, give me a fervence. Give me a passion for your word. That where when I come in here and I hear whoever it is that's preaching the Word of God, then I take that and I receive that in my spirit. And when I go out that door right there, the sermon begins. The teaching happened in here, but the sermon begins when I walk out that door. And that's what we need to do is have that. I'm going to tell you what, when you begin to let that into your life, there's something that's going to transpire in your spirit, man, and you're not going to be happy till you get more of it. Because when you go out that door, then God is saying, okay, this is where I'm going to bring you. This is what we're going to do today. Isn't this going to be fun? We're going to go over here and we're going to do this. Then you're walking out God's expectations. Not your expectations, but His. But how many of you know when we do the will of the Father, our will always gets taken care of? But so many times we flip-flop that thing and we want our will to be done. And God, we're just going to fit you in here somewhere along the way. We'll just put you in this little crack right here. And if we need you, we'll let you know. But some of this, we can handle it on our own. And God says, if that's what you want to do, then go ahead. And we can live a very boring, dull life. But I've learned to say, God, your will be done today in my life. And if it helps my will, then so be it. But I want your will to be done. How many of you understand what I'm talking about? Let me see your hand. See, because when you begin to do that, then you begin to see and you begin to expect things from God. You begin to come to that place and see God the way God really is. And then you know that you're plugged in to the power, the source of life and everything that we need. Amen? We're going to be talking about casual and casualties today. Casual and casualty are closely related. In fact, one is produced by the other. You cannot afford to be casual about the expectation God has given you. Divine vision is not to be treated lightly. I want you to know when God gives you a dream, God gives you a vision, or whatever He gives you, maybe through the Word of God, maybe through a prophecy, don't take that thing lightly. You take that thing, and if you have to, you write it down, and you say, you know what? I have heard from heaven. The God that spoke this world into existence just spoke to me, even though I don't even understand that, and am not even worthy, but God said something to me. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? You see, we are to reverence God in that way. I mean, it blows me away when I know that God just spoke the word, and the world was here. And then He comes down to Kenny Couture's house in my backyard while I'm raking leaves. And He says, go over here and do this. Do you understand how awesome that is? We ought to treat it very high. We ought to honor those things when it comes. It must be honored and respected if you intend to possess it. When you become casual, you will become a casualty. I got some of them in the Bible here I wanted to read to you. I want you to think about this because I'm going to read them kind of fast. Each one of them, I could probably camp out an hour and go in detail about it. But I don't want to do that. I'm going to read them, and I want you to listen to this. When you become casual, you will become a casualty. When Cain became casual about his offering to the Lord, he became a casualty. When Lot became casual about his chosen environment and his family, he became a casualty. Y'all remember when he chose the land? He got the prettiest, greenest land with all the fattest calves, and it ended up being a casualty unto him because he got there and he got relaxed. He became casual and he became a casualty. He lost his wife. She's still stuck over there on some mountain looking like a block of salt because he was casual about things. We need to understand that Esau became casual about his birthright. He became a casualty. Over a bowl of butter beans. Y'all hear what I'm saying? A spiritual blessing that he was going to get, and he became casual about it, and he became a casualty. But he got his butter beans. They lasted only a few minutes because he was a hungry jack, and he ate them, and now he's without all of it. We can become that same way if we don't watch it. When Israel became casual about Canaan's inheritance, they became a casualty. Do you understand that they left from Egypt to go to the Canaan land? And God says, just do what I'm telling you to do. You can go there. I've been on that track before. It's 275 miles from Egypt to Canaan. You can drive it in a car in just a little while. But it took them 40 years to go there. 2.5 million people left. 2 of them made it there. Their children made it, but they didn't make it because they became casual about the things of God. How many of you know that we're living here and we're going to heaven? And we don't have time to get casual about the things of God. Because if we're going to see our eternal home, that tells me we got things to do. We got places to go and things that will happen in our lives. Amen? When Samson became casual about his companions, you remember Delilah? He became a casualty. Yeah, just go ahead and run your fingers through my hair. You know? Thank God I don't have none. So, you know? But go ahead and do that. And he became casual. And by the way, it was not his hair that lost his power. It was that Nazarite vow that he made within his heart and his spirit. And that's what he laid down and told them the power where it came from. And he lost it. He became casual. And he became a casualty out of that situation. When the rich young ruler became casual about Jesus' instructions, he became a casualty. Can you imagine the mouth of God speaking to you? And he asked this young ruler about that, and he says, I've kept all your commandments. I did this, I did that, and I did that. And Jesus looks at him, and the words formed in Jesus' mouth. And you could probably even feel the presence of moisture coming out of Jesus speaking to this young ruler. And he says, go and sell everything that you have and give it to the poor. And this young man looked at that, God speaking out of his own lips to him, and he turned and went his way. He became casual about the voice of God, and he lost out on everything. And that's why sometimes I take it so serious when I hear, when I read the Word of God, and God says to go do this. And you'll say, Lord, I understand this, but I need a confirmation. I mean, I'm just a little bit slow enough, and I don't want to make a rash move. And God, I need a confirmation about this. And then you go somewhere, and somebody will say, you need to go do this. And they don't know beans about you, but it's exactly what God just talked to you. Do you understand that's the voice of God speaking to us? And it's like, how many of those do we need before we will go do what God wants us to do? I don't want to become a casualty because when God speaks, I want to be one that will listen. Amen? When Demas became casual about the temptations of the world, he became a casualty. The Bible says that Demas was under Paul's wing. He was a student of the Word of God. Paul was a mentor to him, and he would bring him to preach, show him how to lay hands on the sick and they would recover, showed him how to do great things. And Demas came to that point and he says, you know what? The things and the cares of this world look really good. And I think I'm going to just step out of this kingdom stuff. And I think I'm just going to go ahead and do what I want to do because I'm tired of listening to somebody else. And he stepped out. Now, you know, we're living in a day and age right now to where it says that the Bible says that there's going to become a great apostasy, a great falling away of the saints. But I also know that there's going to be a great revival that's going to happen. But it saddens my heart to look around and see people that I used to be, or I'm still Christians with, but I watched them, how they got baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, many of them, walked with God, went places, even with me, and they decided somewhere along the way to turn and go their own way. And you look at their lives right there, and they're in shambles. Oh, they may have $1 million in the bank. But their wife has left them, their kids has left them. They have no joy, they have nothing in their life because they chose the cares and the riches of this world. And you see, we're tempted even right now, many of us in this room, because the economy is way down. And it's like people that are looking for money and want to grab it and store it up right now is a very tempting place for those people to come, because they might have lost a lot of money. They might have lost a lot of things. And to regain that, it's a natural thing just to grab something when it's there. And if we don't watch it, we can miss out on God, because we will grab the wrong thing. We will go after the wrong thing. And that's why it's so important to stop and just say, you know what? If I'm broke, if I don't have two dimes, and I do have two dimes. I saw them on my cash register at home this morning. You know, y'all don't have a cash register, do you? I have one at my house. You know, if you come to my house and eat, I ring it up. Ting! You know, the drawer pops up. But it's a joke. It's one my daddy gave me out of an old barn, and I took it and rebuilt it, and it works. But I got two silver dimes on it, and it reminds me sometimes if I go out there, if I don't have nothing but that cash register and those two dimes, at least I can rub them together. But even if I don't have those two dimes to rub together, I got Jesus, and He's more than enough. He don't want me to just get by. He wants me to prosper in everything that I do. But we can become casual about things and say, I want more. I don't know if I'm going to trust God for that. I think I'm going to just go ahead and make this decision right now. I think this is a prophecy in here for somebody today, because you may be fixing to grab on to something that you wish to God you'd never had. Don't go there. Just trust Jesus. If it's His will for you to get something, then you will know it in your heart. You'll have total peace about it, and the peace around you will have. That is not even on my notes today. But you take that. When Ananias and Sapphira became casual about the seed they had sowed, they became instant casualties. Y'all know that when the church first started after the day of Pentecost, it says they had all things in common, and everybody sold what they have, and they brought it to the sanctuary. And Ananias and Sapphira come in and they lied to the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says they died on the spot. Now, we have never had an offering situation like that. Thank God we haven't, you know. But they did. One of them come in and he died, and they took him and buried him. And then Sapphira comes in and she lied. She died. They took him out and buried her. Boy, I'm going to tell you what. Thank God we don't have those kind of things that's happening here. But we can still lie to the Holy Ghost. Amen? There's times that we just come to that place and we need to be very careful about that. I have to watch my words sometimes, because it's easy to let things come out. And it's like, I shouldn't have said that. Not that it's a lie, but there's things I just shouldn't say. Amen? Does anybody else in here have that? Or am I the only one in confession today? But nevertheless, we go through things like that. It says, beware of becoming casual about God's expectation. We live in a culture that is casual about many things, particularly the things of God. We cannot afford to allow the culture of the casual to infect our faith, or we will become a casualty. You know, they made a big deal about this, about the Super Bowl. How many of you watched the Super Bowl? It was good, you know. Thank God they won, you know. The Saints are winning, by the way. Even though they're not playing, we are. We're winning. But nevertheless, they made a big deal about Tebow, you know, the football player, about him and his mom was going to be on there. You know, the secular world, they just puffed that all up, put it everywhere on the news about they shouldn't have that, spending all that money to do that. And we don't believe that. And rah, 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 rah. And I was like, well, I'm going to watch it. Well, the only time I got up at the Super Bowl and did anything, I got up and went and got a drink when that testimony come on, so I missed it. So I sit down, and I was watching it, and the next commercial that came up there, they were talking about being dressed down for work. Be casual at work. And about this time, all these old people come out with underwear on. How many of y'all saw that? This was not a vision that I had, I'm sure. Because it's a picture I never, ever wanted in my mind. But it's like, what is going on here? You know, the things that are good, they're calling it bad. The things that are bad, they think it's cool. I don't like old people running around in their underwear. I'd much rather hear about something that God has done in a person's life. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? You see, the world has become so casual, and if we don't like it, we'll get sucked right into that situation. I promise you, we have a dress down day here. I get the girls, I tell them, look, wear jeans and tennis shoes tomorrow. We fixing to lay. I got 8 pallets of grass that our truck's fixing to let off up front. We're going to dress down and we're going to work hard. And they do. Thank God I got some women. They come out there with their nails and their jewelry. I said, just go ahead and get all that off. We got work to do. We fixing to get in the dirt. We're going to be casual today. But how many of you know you can get real dirty and still be godly? Listen to this scripture. 1 Timothy 4:1, it says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. We have to be so very careful, thank you, so very careful not to let those things creep into the house of God. And especially in your life, whether you're here or at your home. Don't let those doctrines creep in and ruin your life. 2 Timothy 4:3-4, it says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ear from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. There are people, Jesus says in the last days, that many are going to come in my name. Many are going to come and say that I am the Christ. Follow me. And I'm going to tell you what, church, if we don't come to that place and pray every day for a spirit of discernment to know the difference between right and wrong, somebody's going to come along and they're going to tickle your ear. And it's going to sound real good to you because I think this is probably God. Because I watched this person. They look good. They got a lot of good talents by them. They got a lot more than a lot of people got going for them. And it must be God. Well, if we judge people by that way, I'm going to tell you what, there's a bunch of us going to bust hell wide open. Do you understand they're going to have pretty people in hell? They're going to have smart people in hell? But I'm going to tell you what, I'd rather find somebody that's homely and ugly. And if you want to place things on people, if you call that, that's what the world says. But I'm going to tell you what, if they got something godly to say, I'm going to follow that person. Because they know who in who they believe. And they're following somebody that they know where they're going. And I don't go by the appearances. And I don't go by talents. How many of you know there's a lot of talent out there? And I used to book some people at a church that I used to go to when we had groups that was coming in there. Great singing groups, beautiful people. They would come in. And I got to know one of the guys pretty well. And one day he said, you know, my bus is not working very good. You think you could maybe take a look at it? He said, I've had it to about 10 different people. Nobody can figure out what's wrong with it. And I said, yeah, man, I'll come look at it. So I went over there one day, and I walked up on that bus, and I was horrified in the stuff that I saw. I was also horrified, and one day I saw him and another companion go in the bus that was not his wife. And he was not in there teaching her a new song. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? They looked good. They had great talents, but they were not godly people. And he was supposed to do some singing at one of the places that I had already planned out, and I called him. I said, he ain't coming. I use that kind of language. Y'all understand I'm from Kentwood. He ain't coming. He's got somewhere else to go because I'm fixing to go out there and tell him on that bus he's not welcome back here either. That may upset some of you, but we need to start looking at godly things. We need to be careful, because if we're not careful, we can become a casualty. And I'm going to tell you what, as long as I got you guys and you let me stay at this church, I'm gonna do my part to do what I got to do to keep us all out of that. Amen? Amen. A casual attitude concerning the things of God makes you a prime target for spiritual seduction and demonic doctrines. Your weak places. See, the devil can't read your mind, but he can watch what you say. He can watch where you go. He can watch what you do. And if he sees a weak spot in your life, I promise you, he's going to come there to seduce you, to pull you into something you shouldn't be into. That's why it's so important, church, for us to have people that we can be accountable to. You know, if you don't have a friend in this church or somewhere that you can go and sit down with them and talk to them and tell them. Sometimes when you can't get to that, you know, you get to that fuzzy place in your life where you just don't know if it's right or wrong. There's a question there. That's a great time to have a friend to come and sit down and say, you show me what you see out of that. Because, see, every one of us has a blind side. I'm looking at things behind every one of you, so I can see every one of your blind sides. You see my blind side. If something was going to fall out that ceiling on one of you, I would be the first one to run to help you because I see the blind side. Hopefully you do me the same thing. If this thing right here, Sony, was to fall on me, somebody would say, move. You know, you might better move. You're fixing to get a TV planted in your brain, you know. That's my blind side. But I need you and you need me. We need one another. We got to have people that are accountable to one another so we can bounce things off of them and tell them what's going on. And I'm not talking about spill your beans, open your clothes, line up, and tell them everything. But we need people that we can agree with, people that we know that are godly, people that we know that will say, yeah, you need to stop that. Amen? You are a hearer of truth, a knower of truth, a doer of truth. You are on a divine mission. See, every one of us need to convince ourselves that I am on a mission. I got somewhere to go and something to do. If you don't have a mission in your life, you need to get one. We're going to have an altar call in a little while, and I'm going to invite you to come up here and get yourself in a mission. Find out where you're going and what your purpose is. If you're just plodding along through this earth and you're not excited about the things of God, you need a mission. Amen? You are filled with expectation, attentively looking at a divine, listen to this, at a divine picture that is tied to your destiny. I love pictures. Tiffany showed us how to do a camera, and I bought me a Canon, and I take pictures. I showed y'all one last time I preached up here. But I love to take it. You know why? Because when I take a picture of something, that's going to tie me into something. It's either where I was and I saw something good or it's something that I need to do, I'll take a picture of it. And it ties me into my destiny. Well, our spiritual life is the same way. And what I'm trying to do today is snap a picture in your life that you will not become a casualty. And you'll not be casual about the things of God, but you'll be red hot and on fire for what God's got for you. Amen? Focus. She's going to put this on the board. Right, it is right there. Focus, listen to this. Focus creates obsession. Obsession creates passion. Passion creates pursuit. And pursuit creates possession. You know, I like words like that. I can't pronounce them very good. But I know one thing. It does something to me. It gets me excited. It lets me know I can pursue. You know, today's Janice's birthday. You know, she's sitting for a certain age today, but you know, 21, twice 33. But anyway, you know, when I saw her, I'll never forget walking down the street in Kentwood. You know, I had one of my old hot rod cars. I was at the corner cafe getting me a soda water and a moon pie. And they had a parade going down the street, and Janice was the captain of the Kangarettes, Kentwood Kangarettes, okay? She had her little outfit on and her baton, and she's leading the pack, you know. And I'm sitting in there eating my moon pie, and it's like, whoa, look up here. Had gone to school with her all my life. I'd never seen her, but I saw her. And you know what? I had an obsession. And I had a pursuit. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? And I pursued it till I possessed it. And we've been married 47 years out of that. That's a natural thing. But I'm going to tell you what, there's some spiritual things. Because every now and then, God comes by down my street, and I still eat moon pies and ROCs. And every now and then, he'll show me something in the spiritual, and I'll go, whoa, I want that. And I'm going to have a fire burning in here till I get what I want. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? See, there are things that where we are to covet the things of God. That's the only place you can covet anything is by the spirits, God says, covet to be filled with the Spirit. Covet to have the gifts of the Holy Spirit in your life. I mean, that ought to be a red hot fire. That ought to be something we just obsessed with till we get it. Amen? We will never possess what we don't pursue. We will never pursue that for which we have no passion. And we will never be passionate until there is an obsession. And you only become obsessed with subjects of intense focus. Focus is a choice, not a gift. We have to choose that. I choose to focus on the things of God. I choose to be obsessed with the things of God. And you will too. Every one of us will have to come to that place in our life. I want to move on down a little bit because Brother Terry said I had 3 hours today, but I'm going to have to cut that down to an hour. Focus is a choice. We already said that. God, we need to have, you know, good ideas will take you, I'm sorry, good ideas will not take me to God's expectation. You ever have good ideas? And you say, God, you need this. I had a great idea. You can fit this in somewhere in your plan. You know, that's the way I think. That's what I do sometimes. I'm just honest with you. But then I have to stop and get one of those people that I'm accountable to and say, what do you think about this? And I said, no, that's not God. I said, okay, why? And they'll tell me. And I was like, oh, you're right. That ain't God. That's me. You see, we need to be honest and open with one another. You know, but what we need to come to that place and do is pursue God ideas exclusively. When we come and God gives us an idea, we need to hang on to that thing. And by the way, that person that you're accountable to may even come to the place and say, well, I'm not sure that's God. But you know what? When God puts something inside of you, you ain't going to change, baby. You're going to hang on to it. You just say, well, you need to pray through and make sure that you're on the right page. See, there's a balance. That's why it's so important to pray for discernment about everything in our lives, that we will know the right thing and do the right thing that God wants us to do. Listen to the scripture, 1 Corinthians 14. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without significance. In John 10, it says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice, and a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Amen? That tells me we need to be listening. That's why God gave us one mouth and two ears, that we need to be listening twice as much as we're talking. And when we hear the voice of God, we need to not be moved. We need to do what he says to do. And it doesn't matter about anything else. Just do what he says. Now, I will put this in here. Because sometimes God may speak to you, but you may need to back up and wait for the right time. I mean, you know, timing has everything to do with what God says. There's things that God put in my, birthed in my spirit, man. And it was like, wow, man, I can't wait to get this thing initiated. It's going to be on the paper. It's going to start happening, like right now. And I'll start making that move. And it's like it starts falling apart. And I'll rebuke the devil and do everything that I can, scream, holler, kick, flop around like a fish out of water, and nothing happens until I stop and God says, it's not time. It's like, why didn't you tell me that before I did all of this? You know? And he'll say, it's just not time. Wait for my timing. And I've waited sometimes, maybe a year. You know, I prayed for my family. They didn't speak to me for over 15 years. They live in Kentwood. You know how far that is? That's 50 miles from here. But you know what I did? I never gave up on them. God gave me a vision for me and my household. They will be saved. Amen. And I stood on that and I believed for it. And when I finally did get to talk to them, some of you remember, they came down here and they lined up right there. Both of those pews filled it up. And they all made some kind of decision for the Lord. But I tried to get that timing going the first 6 months. I started praying for them. I'd call them. It's time for y'all to come. You need to come. We got this group's going to be at church. We got this. Yada, yada, yada. Send them scriptures. Put this on your refrigerator. They didn't hear none of that. But when the time came, they came. Are y'all hear what I'm saying? That's not in the notes either. Okay. We need to start listening to the voice of God. There's a story about this baseball game. They were out there playing the game. And this old hound dog just kind of strayed up on the field. And while he was wandering around in the field, one of them would holler, "Hey, get over here. Come here, Rip." Another way over here would holler, and the dog would run over there. They'd holler back and forth. This dog was running, just going everywhere. But he would get somewhere, and he finally just got out in the middle of the field and laid down and just laid there looking. And the announcer said, "You know what he needs? He needs one master's voice to tell him where to go." And I thought about it, because I like dog jokes. And it's like, that's what we need sometimes. Because things will burn up your time and your energy, and other people will have you running in circles, and you will basically go nowhere. You'll be like that hound dog going from place to place, listening to this voice and that voice. But when you come and you listen to the master's voice, you will begin to do what he wants you to do. See, we need to do that. We need to hold that dear in our lives and say, you know, there's a lot of good ideas. There's a lot of good things out there. But am I swapping them for something that I should be having God ideas and having greater things to do? See, you can have good things, but sometimes you can have greater things. I'm living too short in my life. I've already gone over the hump. And I don't have time to be running after somebody else's dream and listen to what they need to do. I want to listen to what God's got for me in my days that's left on this earth. I want to do what he wants me to do. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. It comes out of the book of Psalms. I will sing and give praise. I don't care what goes on in this world. I'm going to sing and give God praise. I don't care what happens. Psalms 112, it says, "He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established, and he shall not be afraid until he sees his desires upon his enemies." Amen? I can't wait to that day to where they take the devil and wrap him in the chains and throw him in the pit. You know? But until they do that, I will not be afraid of what comes my way. Because my Bible says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. And why should I stop praising him and get my eyes focused on something else? Amen? We need to take simple things like that and get them ingrained into our life. Listen to this part. Obsession creates passion. You show me a believer or a church that has discovered God's expectation, and I will show you a believer or a church that is filled with passion. I'm talking about passion. And listen to this. It says they will passionately worship. They will passionately pray. They will passionately win souls. They passionately pursue the presence and approval of God. They passionately seek wisdom. They passionately respect their spiritual leaders. They passionately minister to one another. There's a genuine enthusiasm, energy, fervence, and conviction with those kind of people. You find somebody that's got passion burning inside of them, they'll get convicted and they'll stop doing things in a heartbeat. They will have a vision to go do stuff, and they got energy. You know, it's none of this old sit around, "I'm tired today." You know, "What have you been doing?" "Well, I'm busy, busy, busy." I hate that word in the church. That ought to be a curse word here, you know. When somebody asks somebody something, "What you been doing?" "Well, I've been busy, busy, busy." And it's like, okay, stop, write that down. Let me tell you, let me see what you've been doing that's so busy. Now, that's really prying into lives. I understand that. But I wish somebody would do me that when I come up with that phrase. Just because I don't have nothing else to say, I will say, "I'm busy. I ain't done nothing, but I'm busy at doing it." But we need to come to that place and say, "You know what? I've had a lot of things to do, but I still got energy to serve God. And I'm not going to stop. I got things that I got to do. And I have a fervency burning in me to where I'm going to see it done. I want to see it come to completion." You know, when we used to have the foundations class years ago, that was one of the things that we had in there, was about organizing discipline in people's life. If they never got anything out of the lessons that I taught for 18 weeks, if they would just come every week to that lesson, they would get a piece of paper that we would give them and bring them up here and give them a Bible. And you know, there was over 200 people that completed that class. And you know what? The greatest part of it was they accomplished something that they started. How many of you ever started something and you never finished it? And it's like, "Well, I'll move on. I'll go get something else." And you'll start that. And you'll go. And you will not discipline yourself until you complete it. I'm one of those complete people. If I'm going to start something, leave me alone until I finish it. If you stop me, I will tell you about it. Because I got something to do, and it's got to be done. Amen? How many of you believe what I'm talking about? How many of you don't complete some things? You know, you don't have to raise your hand. But if you started something and you haven't completed it, you need to start doing that. You need to say, God, give me something that I can do, and I promise you I will not stop until it is finished. Amen? That's a good vision. That will make your self-esteem, if you need any. You should have died to that at the cross a long time ago. But we still live with that thing because it follows us around. But it would help you tremendously to do and accomplish some good things in your life. I love it when I see young people come and they'll find an instrument and you'll hear them, you know. And I did this. I bought myself a guitar and I got in the house, you know, and I started. A Mel Bay book came with the guitar and I'd put my fingers on it and I'd, brum, ding, brum, you know, it sounded horrible. And I say, what do you think, Janice? She says, you got a lot of practice to do. So I'd get it out, you know, and I'd play that thing every day till my fingers would bleed. And I'd say, I would get it, and it sounded good to me, and I would play it, and I'd say, what do you think? She said, you got a lot of practice to do. And it's like, maybe the guitar's not in my repertoire of things to do. But I kept on doing it, and one day she said, hey, that's Amazing Grace. It's like, yes, I'm going somewhere. It's taking me a while to get here, but I'm getting there. You know, it makes you feel good to accomplish something in your life. Be passionate about it. Let that thing burn inside of you till you get it done. All right, let's move on. Jesus is our example, and we will not find him living that stagnant, humdrum, boring existence. I want you to know, when you follow Jesus, you're getting strapped on to the most excited thing that you will ever do in your life. And if your faith is extended and you come to that place and say, you know, God, I want everything that you got for me. And I want to get up tomorrow morning and I want to walk with you that day. And God, I want to hear your voice. And when you say go here or go there or do this or do that, God, I'm going to be obedient. You just speak to me. How many of you know God still talks to us today? You know, some of you, if you hadn't heard God talk, it's time to start listening. God never, ever stops talking. He's always speaking. It's just a matter for us to listen to what he's saying. You know, if I told you that there are millions of voices that's going through this room right now, they're going, they're shooting like, have you ever watched some of these jet airplanes, the streaks that they make? That's the way voices are right now. And they're here right now. Not to be weird, but they're here. And you say, well, how do you know that? I could go get a little transistor radio, and I could turn it on, and I could go to probably ever how many stations is on that little radio, and it would get every one of those voices that's going through this building. Those voices never stop talking. It's just we don't listen sometimes. We don't turn our transmitter on to receive what God's got for us. And church, it's time that we start turning our transmitters on and start receiving what God's got for us. When we do, it will revolutionize our life. We will begin to do things that would be out of the ordinary for most of us. And I'm not talking about crazy, weird things that hurt other people. I'm talking about things that will bless people and encourage people, bring people to life. Amen? You know, I hate to go home sometimes and turn the TV on and some nut's on there. He's done shot four people, and they always say, and God told him to do that. Well, that ain't my God. My God brings life. He don't bring death. But that's the witness that the world gets. But I'm going to tell you what, every time you hear one of that, millions of people hear that, that's what they think God is. I don't want to serve God if he's going to tell me to go out and kill somebody. He's not. He's not going to tell you to kill somebody. He's going to tell you to bring life to somebody. And when we come to that place, then we're going to see some things happening. But it's going to take every one of us to combat what millions of people heard if we will start taking it to the streets that we live on, to our neighbors and our family, and tell them, then we can show them the real, true, loving, caring God. Amen? And that's where we got to go. But we got to be passionate about those things. I want to tell you some things that Jesus was passionate about. This is one of them. He passionately discussed the scriptures with the theologians at the age of 12. The Bible says they were astonished in what he was saying. They were flabbergasted that this child of 12 years old had such great wisdom, even though he was being disobedient to his parents. They were headed down the highway, and he's sitting there telling them great truths about things. But he was passionate about doing that. He passionately drove the phonies out of his father's house using a whip and overturning their tables. If you wanted to know how church was that day, you didn't see people going out with oil rubbed on their forehead. You saw stripes on their back. And Jesus did it. Because he said, they'll not turn my house into a place of evil. They'll not turn the place of prayer into an evil place. They didn't have oil on their foreheads. He passionately drove those people from that building. He passionately pursued the redemption of a Samaritan woman that all others had written off as past hope. I love that. You know, I had more people mark me off of the list of things in my life. And it was like, is there any hope for anybody? And I felt like I carried that for years and years, running away from home when I was 12 years old and living on the street, and nobody had a vision for me. But I'm going to tell you what, Jesus passionately, he passionately loved me into the kingdom. I could never stop talking about that because he went to that cross and he died. And he gave his life for me. And he gave it for you. And some of you know exactly what I'm feeling. And you know that he passionately did that. He gave his all because he saw something in you and he saw something in me that was worthwhile. I look back at my life and it's like, I don't know what I had that was worthwhile in it. But I tell you what he did. He took everything that was not worthwhile out. And he put some good stuff in there. And I have to praise him for that. But he was passionate about doing those things. He was passionate. He pursued you. He pursued you. He stopped all of heaven just to die on a cross for you. We need to come to that realization in our life. He passionately pursues the Father's wisdom and directions, many times praying all night. All night. You know, we have a few prayer meetings, and I feel so guilty sometimes and about where's the church when we have a prayer meeting? Why is it we have a dinner on the ground, and they come and they eat up everything, grass and all? Yeah, I'm joking with you guys. But we come and we'll do that, but it's like we got a prayer meeting. Pastor Terry just told me a while ago that Kirby's daddy may not make it. He's gone right now to go to the hospital to pray for him. Now, I don't want to take that away from the sermon, but we need to stop and think about it. There are people that are dying right now on deathbeds that we need to be praying for them. You say, well, is that my job? Yes, we are our brother's keeper. God says pray for those people. The least we can do is come to a prayer meeting and pray with them. We've had some times in this building right here. I set up a tabernacle right down this aisle right here. We had, and I'm not saying it because I did it. I was just a part of it. The church came together, and we had church in this aisle right here. How many of you were here that night? Y'all remember what I'm talking about? It had nothing to do with anybody. It had things to do with God. And we need more of those kind of services, but we need you to be in part of it. I don't want to get on my little political box here, but if you don't have nothing to do on Wednesday night, show up with us. We need you. Sometimes you may have a gift that we need. Somebody may come here with a real need in their life and they'll walk right out that door because the gift that they needed to get touch with was not here. That's how valuable the body of Christ is. Amen? You know, we had Christmas dinner this year and my youngest son is in Boca Raton, Florida, and he couldn't come. And we had a great Christmas. You know, I had my son, my grandson, Janice, and I was all sitting there. And we had a great time. But you know what? There was something missing. It was something missing. My youngest son was not there with us. Now, he was in spirit, but physically he was not there. And you know what? I feel exactly the same way about you guys. When I look around and I see vacant spots all through here And people have things to do. I understand that. We live in a community where people work shift work. They can't come here. But you know what? Sometimes that chair right next to you is somebody's at home, and they're watching nothing. You know? Or they're not doing anything. And if you're sitting by one of those empty spots, and you know who sits there, that'd be a great time for you to pray for that person. God, touch them wherever they are. If they're out there just in folly, God, just shake their little tree. Let them hit the ground like a ton of bricks. I want to see them back in here Sunday morning. Many times, Janice and I, she'll ask me, have you seen so-and-so or this person or that person? And I say, no. And before I can even take the week to go call for those people, I'll come to church, and they're sitting in the church already. And I think that's because somebody thought about them. Somebody prayed for them. Amen? He passionately heals the sick. He looked upon them with compassion. He passionately preaches and teaches many times all day. He passionately rebukes the religious lies of his day, combats the Pharisees. He passionately forgives Peter's denial, Thomas's doubt, and even reaches out to Judas at the point of betrayal in the garden. He passionately takes the cup at Gethsemane. He passionately purchases our healing and peace at a bloody whipping post. He passionately takes the sin's mockery for us, a nakedness and a crown of thorns. He passionately carries the cross to the point of exhaustion for you and I. And he passionately answers the death cry of an unworthy thief on the cross. This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. He passionately did those things. I mean, why do we call it the passion play? That's what it's called. Anytime you see something about Jesus, it's always called the passion of Jesus. And if he has that passion and we are his children, we are under his guidance, and we are to take on the same character as he does, where is our passion? We need to have a passion for the lost people of our nation. We need to have a passion for it. I see my neighbors walking around, those that I haven't been able to witness to, and it's like God opened that door. I haven't been able to get there yet, but God, I'm waiting for the day that I can go and share with that person. We ought to all have that passion about us. I pray for more passion every day. And it's like when you pray for more passion, you run across somebody that is ill-mannered. They don't want to hear nothing. But you know what? I've learned just to go on through that and do what God wants us to do. Amen? Mike, the music team, would y'all come on back up here, please? You know, I might have been a little hard on this sermon, but I don't apologize. You know, I want it to burn in us. I don't want us to become casual and become a casualty. I want us to have a fervency in our lives to where we're excited. When we come in this church, that we got something to do. We can rub shoulders with people. We can pray for the person that's next to you. We can believe God for great things, and we're going to see great things. How many of you want to see a revival really take place in this, not only in this city, but in this church and in you? See, revival starts right here. It don't start in the building. We don't hire somebody to come here with a suitcase that's got revival footnotes in it. He pulls out and passes. It starts right here. When we come to that place and we say, God, I want to be passionate for you. And God, most of all, I don't want to become a casualty in anything. And I'm going to tell you what, they're fixing to start playing. And I'm going to give an altar call, and I want you to come. You know, if you want God to do more in your life, I want you to come up here. If you want God to make a difference in your life, if you want to hear him better, and you want more love and more concern for people, I want you to come. Why don't y'all go ahead and let's stand. And don't wait for the music to start. Just come on. This is an altar call between you and God. It's not between you and this church. It's just you and God. And if you want God to do something in your life, I want you to just come on down. Come on. Make a stand for the Lord. You know, some of you have never moved out of your seat. You know, you look at people go down and it's like, well, that's what they need. But you know what? This is a time to self-examine our own hearts and say, God, you search my heart. You search my heart and you show me what I need. I want to make myself accountable to you first, and then I will find somebody else to be accountable to later. Someone that can help me and be a spokesman in my life. Somebody that can see my blind side. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, you might have came in these doors today, and you might have never accepted Jesus Christ in your life at all. Today is your day. The Bible says, behold, the day is the day of salvation. I would not go out those doors if you feel in that tug of your heart today that you need to get right with God. Now is your time. I want you to come on down here and join with these today. We're going to pray for you. We're going to give you some material. We want to bless your life, get you plugged in so you'll be part of the body of Christ. You know, I've shared this story before about people walking out these doors. It's not a scare tactic. It's just really real. And they had an opportunity to accept Christ into their life, and they didn't do it. And they died during that week. And I had to go to the funeral home for one of them. And that's that wondering thing. Did they make it? Did they make it to where they had an opportunity to go? It's kind of like the rich young man. When God speaks, we have to take a move and do what God wants us to do. I want you to come. Thank you, Lord.
I have made you too small in my eyes. Oh, Lord, forgive me. I have come to believe in a lie that you were unable to help me. But
Be back.
just a visitation, but make your abode in our lives, God. Father, we want to be passionate about what we do, Lord God. We want to praise you from a pure heart, Lord God. We want to be passionate with that. Lord, we want to serve you with a pure heart, Lord God. We want to be passionate, Lord God. Lord, we want to love people the way that you do, Lord. We want to look through eyes of compassion when we see the lost and know that you have a plan. You have a purpose for them, Lord. Father, we want to be passionate about that, Lord. We want to be passionate to love one another the way that your word says, Lord. That we would truly be one. Lord, that we would truly love one another. Lord Jesus, we thank you today. Lord, we thank you for every person that's here today. Lord, and we've been praying that every person would be touched, body, soul, and spirit. When we leave this place today, Lord God, we want to know that we've been touched by the hand of God. Lord, we love you today. We give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Let's give him one more clap offering. Amen.
Yeah.